God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible. Shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
There's a lock company that I like to use whenever somebody asks me to replace a lock. It's a very strong lock. It's a very, 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 very expensive lock, and I don't often use adjectives like that, but it's very, 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 very expensive. And what's unique about it is when you get a key, it cannot be duplicated until you take it back to the locksmith and a name has to be put on a card. The owner of the lock has to tell the locksmith who can get duplicates of that lock. Now, that lock is impervious. It cannot be jimmied by burglars. You cannot have your home. That lock cannot be destroyed. There have been instances when the door was broken and the lock stayed right where it was supposed to, and they broke the door around the lock. Let me tell you how they made that lock. They hired burglars who told them how they break into jimmy locks. Now, every one of us in our lives are going to be exposed to something that someone else has gone through. And the devil will isolate you and destroy your life because you don't have faith in anybody else. And there's nothing wrong. I got my faith is in God. I don't have faith in nobody. Then you're doomed to live a sad life. In Hebrews chapter 11, he gives you a whole list of people that you should draw from their experience. So that when God takes you down those roads, you know exactly that if he brought them out, he's no respecter of persons, he's going to bring me out. Find the person that has been through. Jesus said, look at the fowls, look at the grass, look at all those things. And God uses those things to bless us. Now listen carefully. In Mark chapter 11, this is really a power passage. It is a power passage. It should really stir your faith. If you study the life of Christ, and again, let me get in my plug for Bible Institute, because when you have systematic study, you see things. You develop processes where you can then begin to rationalize behavior or declare some behavior as irrational because you have something to measure it against. Most of us don't have anything to weigh with our experiences. We just hear a voice and say it's God. How do you know it's God? Well, praise the Lord, I know God's voice. How? How do you know? What's your barometer? There was one person that was in Christ. They said every time God spoke to them, a patch of their hair would turn gray. God must be talking to a lot of them. You see how we quickly go to the soul? Okay. God speaks to us audibly. I will not take that from him. He speaks to us through situations. As situations unfold, he gets through to our understanding. He speaks to us through trials and tests. He can get our attention with negative things. He speaks to us through people. People are probably the second best way of hearing from God. And the last way is through the word. And people and the word are probably two of the best ways that he can speak through us. Because we don't listen to trials and tests. We try to find somebody to get us out the trial. I just need some positive people. Yes, but you're still going through a negative thing. Don't try to dismiss it. You know, some pain God allows for a greater picture. Some pain God lets hit you so that you can make an adjustment and not die later. Chest pain can be a blessing from God if you go to the hospital, get an EKG, and they see that you got a problem. If you never had the pain, your artery could block and you just die. So pain down here in the lower right region, pain can be a blessing from God. It's letting you know. When you start having significant pain down in this area, in the appendix area, and it lasts for 2 or 3 hours, God is giving you 2 or 3 hours to get to the ER so they can pull that bad boy out of there, because if you don't, it'll rupture and you'll die from the poison. So sometimes the pain is a good thing You don't have to bind the devil. Satan, I bind you. I bind this pain. No, I try to find out what's causing it. Now, when you get to Mark 11, something interesting happened. Jesus has already cursed the tree. The tree has leaves, but no fruit. And Jesus, being knowledgeable of the vegetation and the trees in that area, in that region, and during that season, knew that leaves were the representation of fruit. And so he went to the tree with the leaves to get some fruit, and there was no fruit. There were just leaves. There was no fruit. Now, he cursed the tree. I would have paid money to see that. A tree significantly aggravated him. Brothers and sisters, this is my 7:30 people. God's got something against trees. He put that one in the middle of the garden and told Adam, don't eat of it. Adam could have eaten from anything else. And God said, don't touch that tree. There's always the tree that gets his attention for some reason. He comes down there and he wants a fig. Now, come on, you're Jesus. Just speak the blooming fig. No, he walks up. The disciples are standing around. What's wrong? Shh, I don't know. He's in one of the moods. He ain't talking. Shh, don't get him mad because you saw what happened in the temple. Yeah, but he don't have no whip with him now. Yeah, but we don't know. He walking on water. And no, shh. Nobody's going to eat of your fruit anymore. What the heck? Okay, nothing happened. He was just upset. He just reacted. You get on my nerves. I wish you didn't live here. I wish I never married you. Just the reaction. And they left. And Jesus said, oh, let's go back this way. And as they walked by, Peter said, Master, the tree that you cursed, it dead. And it dried from the roots up. Because he said, nobody's ever going to eat from you again. So that meant the roots had to die. And Peter said, whoa, whoa. Y'all see that? Whoa! Jesus said, man, have faith in God. Now, I need you to see this. We can't finish it, so I'm going to leave you desiring more. He just cursed the tree to death, cussed it out, and it died. And he said, have faith in God. Wait a minute. Hold it. God heals. God blesses. God makes alive. Why he killed this innocent tree that was just blossoming out of season? Like so many times in our winter, as we move into the spring, some flowers come up early only to die when the frost comes back. You don't walk out and curse it. You ain't never coming up again. You just walk over and say, oh, let me cover it so it doesn't die. There's some people, they cover certain trees with plastic and tape it so it don't get cold. Jesus went up to get a piece of fruit, and there was none. He said, nobody gonna eat from you ever again, and just left. And it died from the roots up. And then he walked back through and said, have faith in God. Wait a minute. God wants me going around cursing trees? What if something doesn't set right with me? Should I curse it? I got a supervisor from hell who's an Amalekite, who's the son of a Jebusite, who's the uncle of a Hittite, who's the friend of a Japhethite. You curse them? Why do you do that? You say, oh, he wanted to teach faith. Well, why couldn't he teach faith by saying, fruit, come on the tree? Come on, fruit. I want some fruit. Come on the tree. Come on the tree. come on the tree. And the figs would have blossomed all over. You would have had figs and fig Newtons all over that tree. All over that tree. You would have had figs and cookies all over that tree. Had he just spoken, fig, come on that tree. You would have had fig ice cream, fig shakes, because whatever he speaks to, something happens. But he cursed it, and it died. And we never talk about it, because we can never see Jesus cursing stuff till it dies. And the curse wasn't the issue. Even the next instruction, have faith in God. It's an interesting phrase there, because once again, we take it from a contemporary perspective and we look at that and say, well, Jesus is saying, have faith in God. Or as the Word of Faith people, they change the word in to the, have the faith of God. And then that makes more of a problem, because is God's faith destructive? No, the destruction comes when you walk outside of the faith of God and when you try to bloom outside your season. But I'm not going to address that. That's later. But Jesus said, have faith in God. Now watch what he goes into. He says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to the mountain. Notice, he ain't even talking about the tree no more. He has gone to a mountain, an impregnable piece of rock, created by God, contrary to what the evolutionists say. Mountains did not come in every case from water. All mountains did not come from the ground being washed by an erosion by water. God made some mountains because they're beautiful. They're awe-inspiring. And so Jesus says, you can say to this, very specific, not a, but you can say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. And here's the clincher, and shall not doubt in the heart. Now, although the Greek word cardia is used, he's not talking about the soul. He's talking about the center of your being, which is your mind. When the Bible says, from the heart of man proceeds thoughts, he definitely isn't talking about this. He said, it's not what comes in that defiles you. It's what comes out of what? Your mind. Jesus had them by the throat with that dead fig tree and taught the most revolutionary lesson about faith. See you next week.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
11117A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.